Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 3, Episode 3. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet, and I'm David Todd. Dave, this is officially, and boy, it's about time, the last week of football that the Steelers are going to have without a game going on, other than the bye week in Week 4, until it's 2013.
That's incredible to think about, and it's a great time of year. And also, people are excited. Today's Friday. Today's the annual Friday Night Lights out at La Trobe Memorial Stadium there. And we, you know, there was the news this morning on top of that that we're going to have four former Steelers out there all announcing their retirement and celebrating their career as Steelers. And, of course, I'm talking about Joey Porter, Willie Parker, Aaron Smith, and Marvell Smith. So, boy, what a treat for those people that if that place isn't packed out there tonight, David, something, it ought to be flowing out there for those four guys.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be a good scene. And, Dave, I just did a little, I just did some work on the radio, and I went through all of their careers, and it's pretty interesting stuff. You know, I think everybody knows about Aaron Smith because he's the most recent Steeler. He was here last year. But I think the thing that surprised me is I went back and looked at Willie's numbers, and there he put up big numbers. I mean, he didn't play long in the NFL. He was only in the league 2004 to 2009. Of course, went to the Redskin camp in 2010. But it's a pretty great story. He ran for 5,378 yards. Of course, the 75-yard touchdown against Seattle in the Super Bowl and Super Bowl 40 is probably his most memorable achievement, but a two-time Pro Bowler and an All-Pro and two Super Bowl rings and the team MVP in 2006. Pretty good stuff.
How I missed that segment. How do you rank them personally?
Well, I did it, and it wasn't hard for me, and it's funny. I asked Tunch and Wolf to rank them. I said Aaron Smith, Joey Porter, Willie Parker, and then Marvell Smith. And that's obviously not in any way to denigrate Marvell Smith. It's just the way
linemen get crapped on.
Yeah, how about you?
I mean, Aaron Smith, man, what a five technique, you know, 3-4-5 technique guy. You know, if not for those injuries late in his career and inability to stay healthy, we very well possibly, I don't know, the, you know, defensive ends in a 3-4, you know, kind of won't end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But Joey Porter alone on some of his quotes and all, rake him up there. I'd never forget that they shot me in Denver quote after one of the playoff games there. But, yeah, I would generally agree. Willie Parker third, Marvell Smith fourth, and, you know, Aaron Smith and Joey Porter, of course, the top two there. So I bet you got some good, interesting responses on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a surprise. I put it out there on Twitter, and the most common response was from to have Aaron Smith number one. And I think, you know, people had Willie, he was probably the most varied guy on the list. Some people had him, most people had him three, but some people had him two or four. Nobody had Marvell one. A couple of people had Joey one. And I think if Joey had played his entire career in Pittsburgh, rather than 2 years in Miami and a couple of years in Arizona, maybe he would have been number one. I guess I hadn't realized that Joey Porter made the Pro Bowl and All-Pro in 2008 with the Dolphins.
Yeah, he did. And then ultimately demanded for his release either a season or two after that. And then, of course, landed with Arizona. Joey gave it all, man. I mean, it's sad that they had to, you know, it was one of those salary cap situations where you're afraid to hold on to a player a year too long. You need that cap money, and he ultimately was that cap casualty the year the Steelers had to cut him loose there. And, you know, we've seen this time and time again with linebackers and all, you know, over the years. You know, do you hang on to him that one extra year and risk it, or do you cut him loose? And unfortunately, you know, Joey Porter, long list of guys, the Steelers linebackers, that salary cap casualties later on in their career.
Yep, and Dave, how would you rank him?
Same way. I think Aaron Smith, Joey Porter, Willie Parker, and Marvell Smith. You know, I'm with you on that. I mean, Willie, I don't see how you can justify putting Willie in the top two. Marvell, I mean, and it is, if we had more stats, more stats on offensive linemen that could really, really break it down of effectiveness, that would help him. But really, all it is a memory, and it's kind of hard to quantify an offensive lineman without stats in front of you. But, yeah, I think you nailed it.
So, Dave, that'll be the event tonight. Of course, the practice is at La Trobe at 7 o'clock. There's no afternoon practice here at La Trobe where I am right now. And so yesterday's practice is the first time we see him go with the two-minute drill. And one of the things I've talked a lot about on the radio the past couple of days is the difference between the no huddle and the two-minute drill. And, I think our listeners probably get it, but they probably don't think about it. I think people use the words interchangeably, and it's not quite the same thing. Because two-minute drill is obviously designed to manage the clock late in the half or at the end of the game where you're trying to get points on the board and you're time-constrained, whereas the no-huddle is more designed to stymie the defense, to force the defense to stay in the same personnel group so that they're in their base defense and they can't, with all the sub-packages that teams used in this day and age, defenses, if you quickly back to the line of scrimmage, they can't afford to make the substitutions they might normally make on different down and distance. And so, and it's something that Todd Haley's talked about instituting more of. It's something Ben wants. And, you know, we'll see if it actually is true. I mean, Bruce Arians said he would use it more. And they seemed to be very successful running it when they did, but they didn't run it very often.
I couldn't agree more. And I posted about Ben Roethlisberger's stats earlier this week on Steelers Depot as well around that. You know, a lot, Arians, his excuse for that was the injuries to the offensive line, not having the trust, I guess. I mean, always rotating the guys out on there. That was mostly his reason. Whether it was or it wasn't, I mean, there's no sense crying over that now. I mean, Ben was always vocal about wanting to run it, even after all the injuries and all. I do like that Todd Haley's sort of dangling the carrot. I like to say dangling the keys to the black and gold Corvette out in front of Ben early on in the season here, because, A, this is something that Ben definitely wants to run is the no huddle, and, B, Haley also threw it out there that Ben would, you know, the goal is to let Ben be able to call the plays during it, you know, while running it. So, I like that aspect of it. And you hit on a key point in there it's not really talked about enough in the no huddle and like the 2 minute drill, especially the no huddle is the personnel involved in that. If you can give the appearance, you know, that you're going to run and not tip off that you're going to run or pass initially before you get into that no huddle. And as you say, you catch the other team's base on the field. Maybe you're running some sort of 22 or 23 personnel groupings with either, with two running backs in that, however you want your groupings to be. But as long as it's not a tip-off that you might be going into a fast-paced offense, we've heard talk that Isaac Redman's going to be on the field quite a bit on third down this year. And, that's not a bad idea. You just worry about wearing him out, eventually down the line. But he has more than proven that he's been able to both pick up the blitz and recognize the blitz, and he's shown some hands out of the backfield on top of that. So the personnel is a huge part in that, and that'll be interesting to see the personnel groupings they use in that, because as you stated, if you catch that defense and do not give them enough time to get their sub packages on the field, that's a huge, huge advantage for the offense.
Yep, absolutely. The Steelers worked on this. They worked on the 2 minute drill a couple days ago. The no huddle a couple days ago, and spent their time yesterday in the 2 minute drill. I guess what I came away with in the drill is Ben didn't look sharp. That was the one surprise. They came out with the personnel grouping of Isaac Redman was the single back. He in the very first play he lined up slot left. David Paulson was the tight end, primarily lining up to the right side. And, Heath is still a little bit limited, I guess, so he didn't go at all. Paulson, the first guy in there in the two-minute drill, that was a little bit surprising. You know, Leonard Pope, Wes Saunders. Paulson looked okay in the big feature of yesterday's practice was the backs on tight ends, linebackers on tight ends. And you know, and fullbacks. And the two fullbacks looked very good, particularly David Johnson. He was a mauler. He pancaked Morty Ivey once. I think he had, you know, he was the best blocker. Now, the linebackers, I don't think anybody stood out. I actually thought Brandon Johnson didn't look particularly good. I don't think he's actually looked particularly good all camp. So that would be kind of the negative thing that stood out to me. Chris Carter was okay. But, you know, the three top guys in the depth chart weren't there. So, you of course, we have the two guys on the pup list, and Lamar Woodley out with a groin injury the past 2 days, should be back today. So that's not how it went the first time they did it a couple of days ago in practice, but this one went to the guys on the offense.
Couple of questions for you, and I recapped what you said in my recap last night. You said Chris Carter reportedly handled Leonard Pope twice, I believe. That's not surprising to me. People – you know, you read some of this crap on the internet sometimes, and people pull stuff out of their behind saying, oh, Leonard Pope's a good blocker. I've said all along Leonard Pope's not a good blocker, that he's a big guy that's a great red zone target. That's what he is. And, you know, I'd be interesting to hear more as we go along in camp how Leonard Pope does in his blocking. David Paulson, you saying lining up out there, that's interesting as well, too, especially when they had Wesley Saunders and Leonard Pope at their expense there. And I believe you said that Paulson and Morty Ivey kind of split their two battles and then kind of drew, you know, a draw on their third battle blocking. Brandon Johnson, you said got handled by Jamie McCoy as well, too. And you know, Brandon Johnson's a guy we've talked quite a bit about on the last few episodes. This is a guy that's still kind of an enigma here because, let's face it, he's not a guy that's had to rush the passer a lot in his time with Cincinnati, and he's kind of a square, round peg trying to be fit in a square hole with not a lot of time in this defense so far. So, you know, based on what you're telling me and based on all that kind of info right now, he looks outside the bubble, outside the bubble looking in, even despite all the injuries. Would you agree?
Well, you know, it's so early and they're going to put a lot of weight on the game. So I don't think anybody's going to not make the team here based on what we've done so far.
Right. But I mean, he's outside the bubble right now, right?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, with so few linebackers there, I think the Steelers linebacking depth has to be an issue, which obviously is why he was brought in the first place. So, you know, if we assume that all the guys who were on the team last year are on the team this year, I think the guys on the fringes are Morty Ivey, Brandon Johnson. I'm not sure I'd go much past that. Those are the guys who I guess are on the edge trying to make the team. The Steelers didn't draft. Right, they didn't draft a linebacker, right?
Well, Spence, of course, inside.
Oh, right. Spence, right. I knew I was forgetting somebody, right? Sean Spence, you know, he was great. We've talked a lot about him, great in minicamp. I haven't seen him much. The flat answer is, you know, you try to see as much as you can, and if a guy doesn't, when they get in 11-11, you can't watch all 22 guys. You pick things you watch, and I've spent more time watching the offense. I watched the defensive linemen do drills. I've watched some of the wide receiver corner stuff because, you know, there are position battles going on there. I haven't watched, and I did watch this backers drill. Sean Spence, I think I saw him just go once, and which is interesting because Mike Tomlin was arranging the matchups. He was there the whole time. I was far enough away that I couldn't hear exactly what was being said, but you could hear when Tomlin spoke when he wanted to see a guy go again and again. Oftentimes, guys would go two or three times consecutively. So that was all interesting to see. And this is not a knock on Sean Spence. I just haven't seen much one way or the other, and he hasn't been running when they've been running first-team defense against second-team defense against first-team offense. I have tended to focus on what the offense was doing. So he's another guy I'll try to look more at camp. But, Dave, I think what I just said on the show was, I'd say so far, unimpressive from the rookies. Now, they're learning, and this is not a knock on the rookies, but I just nobody's really flashed other than Chris Rainey. Chris Rainey, because his skill set and what he brings to the table, he's a guy who's he can flash on the first day of practice, whereas other guys need technique work. They need to understand the position, whatever they have to do, where Chris Rainey, just get him the ball in space, and he's going to flash. I think DeCastro's been – disappointment isn't the right word, but he hasn't stood out. He's been handled more than once by kind of nondescript defensive linemen on occasions. I think Mike Adams is doing fine. Nothing particularly interesting or not interesting. And as I said, I haven't seen a lot of Spence. And Ta'amu, has the physical gifts, but there was, you know, there's an instance where he was getting, he got a little bit chastised by Mitchell and Kiesel. I think it was Kiesel. I couldn't remember exactly who the player was, but that he wasn't given a full effort. He crushed somebody on the next play. But, you know, you don't want as a rookie out there, somebody, you know, particularly your position coach or the senior guy in your position group questioning your effort. So, you know, these rookies, it's to be expected. You don't want to have a team where the rookies come in and they're the best players, or you don't have a particularly good team. But you can tell it's the first week of their professional career.
Yesterday, they also did the wide receiver drills on the corners as well, too, in the no huddle stuff and all. And I think Mike Prosciutto wrote about this on Steel City Insider this morning as well, too. And we've talked about it quite a bit. I've talked with Ken Laird and Mark Caballi on the wrap-up podcast the last few days. Does anybody want to win the fifth wide receiver spot?
I'm gonna go look for some pads, Dave. I've been working on my 40 time.
No kidding. I think if you showed up right now, at least you could be considered in the running. I mean, Tony Clemmons, I think they want this guy to win. You know, they want him to win it. But, you know, reading these reports and listening to stuff out there, he's had a case of the drops, and they've all been just inconsistent. And is that the best word to use in your eye?
Yeah, I think Mark and Ken last night described it pretty well. I like Jim Wechsel's tweet where he said Tony Clemmons should drop the E from his first name because it's the only thing he hasn't dropped so far. I thought that was pretty funny.
Derek Williams, is this a guy that really we could realistically, he's got NFL game experience, not afraid to block, you know, can play special teams. To me, from the sound of things, and of course we have not played our first preseason game yet, of course, but to me, he's the leader in the clubhouse right now. It's either him or Marquise Mays.
Well, no, Tony Clemmons is the leader in the clubhouse. Absolutely. He's the leader in the clubhouse. I think Marquise Mays has looked good. I've asked the question because I'd like somebody to tell me, you know, definitively whether it's possible that you could have three guys on your roster like Marquise Mays, Baron Batch, and Chris Rainey. You would think the answer would be no, but at the end of the day, Mike Tomlin's going to take the 53 players that he thinks make up the best football team. Now, that might be slightly different than saying the best 53 players, and I think that's an important distinction, and we talk about it a lot. At the end of the day, the last five guys, the last three guys, they might not be competing against somebody in their position group for a spot on the roster. It's going to be a special teams thing, and are you going to take 10 defensive backs? Are you going to take 9 linebackers? How many receivers and running backs are you going to take? A lot of these things are a little bit blurred, so Will Allen might be competing against a guy like Tony Clemmons. I mean, you know, can you imagine if they, you know, there's a chance that because of the way things are going to be set up with Todd Haley's new offense, Chris Rainey ends up being a slash guy in terms of being a slot or a back. Maybe your fourth receiver all of a sudden is Chris Rainey as opposed to one of these other guys, and they only keep one more guy. And then if Mike Wallace comes in, it's conceivable, not necessarily likely, but it's conceivable you could then carry only four receivers if you look at Rainey as being a guy who can line up in the slot a lot. Most of the time so far, we've seen him in the backfield, so I'm not suggesting that he is a receiver. I think the Steelers look at him as a running back. But, you know, it'll be things that play out, and we'll be guessing along with you, our listeners, as to how these things are going to go.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one thing we said early on, you know, slash, basically, with Rainey, you know, calling whatever you want to list him as on the roster, but the guy can do multiple things, and by doing so, and you make a good point, if Mike Wallace is in there, if none of these guys separate themselves, you know, in any of the other receivers there, especially if they're not able to help out on special teams, then you open up another roster spot for someone who can contribute greatly on special teams, wherever that position might come from. So, yeah, I mean, you laid that out real well there. In a 2-minute drill, you know, anything else stick out to you other than, you know, you said, I think sloppy is a word I heard, and you said Ben not overly sharp. Anything else, you know, stick out?
You know, I'll tell you, I saw the most surprising thing I've seen in camp so far, and nobody's going to guess this because, you know, whatever, nobody would be able to guess this, but I saw Manny Sanders drop a pass. I'll bet I won't see that happen five times this year. He, in the 2-minute drill, I think it was the third play, turn, Ben hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it. And, you know, I think everybody just kind of stopped for a second and stood there. You know, I've seen Tyler Beiler drop balls. I've seen everybody else drop balls. I haven't seen Antonio or Manny drop any, and Manny dropped one with all the eyes on him. So that was a bit of a surprise. On the touchdown, Keenan Lewis got beat. Curtis Brown got beat bad earlier by Antonio Brown as well, but Ben missed him, which would have been a touchdown. The DBs, Cortez Allen, made a pick in the last play of the scrimmage, a nice little pick on the sideline. I think I laughed with Mark Cabali, tweeted that it was a touchdown. Mark didn't have a view, obviously, of what was going on. So I actually went down to make sure I didn't get it wrong. And we were talking about it. I was like, was that Allen picking it over there? He said it was a pick. I thought it was this was a play that took place on the 40-yard line. So Mark and I had a good laugh about that.
You can't see everything, can you?
Yeah, no, you know, you try and see as much as you can, and you're walking around trying to do different things and pick things up. So, you know, doing the drills, one of the things, I guess, you know, we're conditioned to, you know, talk about this stuff so much, and I end up spending 4 or 5 hours a day talking about a 2-hour practice. So, you know, you don't want to kind of jump to any conclusions here in the first 6 days. You see what you see, but the coaches, you know, what I've learned, and this is the first time I've spent a lot of time at the camp, you know, these games really are important to the staff. Mike Tomlin, it's a big deal, and special teams will be a huge deal, and they'll watch that film really closely. And I don't think any of the position coaches are jumping to conclusions about what happens here. They think they, you know, have an understanding of their personnel, and that's what they want to do, and they want to teach them. But see, having them go against the other guys will be very significant in how, you know, the battles for the middle 20 spots on the roster shake out. I've been saying all along, kind of 40 roster spots are set. 20 guys are not really in competition. They're more camp bodies. And so that's 60 guys there. So you've got about 30 guys working for maybe 20 spots if you include the practice squad.
I would go less than that as spots that are available on the 53-man roster. I don't know. If you add in practice squad, yeah, okay. I didn't catch that last part. Yeah, I would generally agree with that. You know, you mentioned the tape never lies in the first preseason game coming up next Thursday. One guy that really needs this work, that the exhibition season is really going to do him good, is Chris Carter. And I got to hand it to you, David. You got to talk to Keith, linebackers coach Keith Butler, this week. And that was one of the better interviews out of training camp, in my opinion, thus far. Because, A, I love to hear Keith Butler talk linebackers and schemes and all like that. You know, he's that one peg under Dick LeBeau. And B, there was a lot of good questions in there, and I think a lot of information to be gleaned, you know, in that interview. And you know, he talked about Chris Carter in there and how, you know, hey, Carter's having a great camp and all, but you know, he's not ready to, you know, he's still got a ways to go, too. You know, he explained how that this is a kid that played defensive end. He's still learning about standing up and learning about what's going on behind him still, knowing how he fits in schematically into the defense there. So, you know, this is a guy that obviously is likely to start against the Eagles at right outside linebacker next week. He needs all this playing time, you know. I really think a bunch, you know, outside of Jason Worlds, who's on the PUP list, Carter really needs to benefit from this playing time. And also, you asked Butler about, you know, kind of dating back to the talk about the roles of the Buck and the Mac linebacker inside there that you know, were generated back from the draft after Sean Spence was drafted. You know, where we've been talking all along, kind of reading in between the lines and taking what he said that it's sort of a blurring, so to speak, of the two roles. And you got him to, you know, kind of expound on that this week, and he did. You know, and why don't you kind of recap what he told you?
Yeah, and you have it up on your site. Nice job of you getting that. How'd you get that, by the way?
How did I get what?
The interview.
It's up on ESPN 970.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's in the podcast section.
Oh, good.
You've got your own podcast page, Dave.
Yeah, I do know that. I couldn't dump it into the system because it's too big, and I haven't figured out how to send some files. But we'll save that for when we're not talking live here. Keith was You hit on the highlights, Dave. You talked about the blending of the Mac and the Buck, and about Chris Carter and you know, not being comfortable with what's going on behind him. We talked about, you know, I thought one of the interesting things is we talked about him staying. And he was very forthcoming talking about, you know, money was important. He liked the people he worked for, called Mike Rooney a very fair man, a good guy to work for, like the Rooney family. Money makes a difference in the equation, so he's clearly getting paid well. And then I joked that
we're going to get an email on that. You called him Mike Rooney. I know what you're meaning.
Mike Rooney. Oh, yeah, Mike Tomlin, very, you know, I said, Mike, he's, I mean, whatever. Mike's a very fair guy to work for, and he likes the Rooney family and all of that. And so I thought the other thing I asked him is when in the draft room, the past, you know, he got Timmons and Lamar Woodley, excuse me, Dave, and, you know, the past couple of years, Sean Coogler's gotten some guys. And I said, you know, it was clear that Dont'a Hightower was a guy attached to the Steelers. Did Kevin and Mike want to have you wrestle it off to see who'd get the positional guy in the first round? And he laughed at that. And he wasn't shy about saying he'd love to have Dont'a Hightower. He was a good football player. He was high on the Steelers board. But they got to Castro, and I think he called him Castro, by the way, which was pretty funny. And Mike Adams, and, you know, got to keep your quarterback upright and all that. And I'd encourage listeners to listen to the link that Dave has up, or go to 970 and listen to it on the podcast, because it was pretty informative. And hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him a few more times now that we developed a little bit of a relationship.
And why don't you recap what he told you about the injuries or the return of Worlds and Harrison?
Yeah, that's what I tweeted, and I was a little surprised. I kind of expected him to say they're day-to-day or maybe after the first exhibition game. But he said, you know, a couple weeks was what he used, and he said he hoped to have him back in a couple weeks. And I said, both of them, or is that specific to one of the guys? And he said Harrison, then he expounded on Worlds. And I would think Jason Worlds might be back after this Philadelphia game this coming week. He's gone from having a brace on to just having it wrapped to having nothing on now. He's been doing some running and stuff. But I think the significant thing, and this may be, there were some really good takeaways in the interview, but what he said about Jason Worlds, he started talking, and I was talking about his fitness level probably being okay. And I thought Keith was going to say, but he's not in football shape because he hasn't hit anybody. And he didn't. He said, but he asked that, you know, he basically hit on the mental part of the game and said, you know, I think the reps, he, you know, going through things, making sure he knows what he's doing. And I took that with a big kind of eyebrow raised, because in my mind, he was saying maybe Jason doesn't still have the playbook fully down. This is his third year in the system. We know in his first year in that game against Miami, when he looked good, Mike Tomlin quickly shot that down and said he missed a bunch of assignments. He was coming off the edge when he was supposed to drop into coverage and vice versa. And if you don't know the defensive calls as a fan, you'd never know that he blew his assignment that way. So I think that was a little bit of I'll call it a yellow flag, not a red flag. But clearly Jason Worlds needs to get out there. And, you know, we haven't seen him practice yet, but guys rave about his physical talents. You know, and Chris Carter, the issue is he big enough? There's no issue of is he big enough with Jason Worlds. He's a big boy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I took the same thing away from that. It wasn't like because you interrupt him to say, you know, well, at least he's working on the side. He'll be ready to come back. And like you said, he pretty much said, hey, that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about if he can, you know, handle his role, you know, what he's supposed to do in his defense. And when you have him and then you mix that in with the comments that he had on Carter, although, you know, he thinks Carter is going to become that person. But let's face it. It sounded to me that he's scared to death if he would have to turn, even though Jason Worlds played over 500 snaps on defense last year for the Steelers. We're going to be
500. Did he really?
Yes, over 500 snaps on defense last year for Jason Worlds. And it scares me to death, David. It really does. If James Harrison and mark my words, David, James Harrison is not going to play in all 16 games this year.
Well, you know, we'll wait and see. But, you know, that if you're a betting man, that's probably the bet to take. So, you know, the Steelers linebacking situation is a little bit of an issue. And it will go, you know, if we're going to look as far as next year, when they didn't take Dont'a Hightower in the first round, that means linebacker is going to, you know, there's a decent chance that linebacker will be the position of need in the first pick in next year's draft when the Steelers are drafting.
Because I wouldn't say first round, but it'll be up there in them first three rounds, you know, pretty sure. Now, how is this Adrian Robinson kid going to work out? Is this a guy that I've heard him referred to kind of a James Harrison build? You know, I don't want to compare him to skill set or anything like that, but kind of the build and not afraid to bull rush and all like that. I mean, this is a guy I think that's going to be pegged for the practice squad. And it takes 2 years in this system for an outside linebacker at a minimum to understand what you're supposed to do. So if you draft an outside linebacker next year, you're talking about 2 years before he hits the field.
Well, yeah, the big thing, I guess, is going to be to see how Carter and Worlds develop. And, you know, if they develop as planned, then you look inside. If they don't, then, you know, you're going to have some issues. Two other things that kind of came out that I've seen here. One is that Larry Foote's the starter at inside linebacker. That's not even really a conversation. I was surprised it's so clear-cut, but it is clear-cut. It doesn't mean it won't be spelled now and then, but there's no competition for that job. He's starting inside next to Timmons. Two is, I feel like Will Allen's going to make this team.
I do, too.
I didn't think he was going to make the team last year. And yeah. I'm here and just watching how he works and what he's doing and kind of a bit of a security blanket. He's a veteran guy, probably won't see the field much. But Carnell Lake mentioned him in my interview yesterday. He's a special teams guy. You know, I think he's going to make the team. So
you remember me telling you, he's a Tomlin guy. He goes about his business. He's a hardworking guy. He hasn't had to play on defense because, thank God, they haven't needed him to, you know, at safety there.
Right.
You know, Ryan Monday, of course, is the next man up in there. But Will Allen is a good special teams guy and all like that. And I'm with you. I mean, you know, just to trim salaries is not a reason to cut Will Allen. Like, you know, everybody and their brother, these message boards and comments and all, cut Will Allen, save that million point whatever three or whatever they can do by doing that. I'm with you, David, especially with Ryan Clark going to miss that first game in Denver. Will Allen's gonna make this roster, but and you've got an interview that'll probably be up on podcasted up on ESPN of an interview that you did with both Carnell Lake and Curtis Brown today, I believe, so listeners can look forward to listening.
Yeah,
that
Curtis Brown interview was Joe Bendel with Curtis Brown. He did a real nice job, as he always does. So, Curtis talking about the competition there. So, yeah, I played them together on the 3 o'clock show, and if it's podcast, you can hear them together. Sorry, 2 o'clock today, you can hear that on the podcast. A couple other things, Dave. One is, you know, the Ben injury thing. I mean, it created quite a stir, and I was told that maybe Ed Bouchette sat on this story until it had there was a quiet day at camp and he could break it and have it be big news. I don't know that that's true, but the reality is it's not big news. Ben squelched it as soon as he could. The story broke while Ben was actually practicing. So, you know, there's nothing to say. It wasn't really Ben being the drama queen that he's made out to be. I don't know why he brought it up or when exactly the question was asked. And I think the question was asked about how's your shoulder. So, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said it, but it certainly didn't deserve the 24 hours in the news cycle that it got.
Mark Cabali says, told me the other night, he says, hey, anytime Ben sneezes there, it's big news, you know. So franchise quarterback in the city of Pittsburgh, and hey, let's face it though, Ben's not shy about telling everybody about what ails him either. But I thought it was quite funny because even Cabali had to go stake out the cafeteria. I don't know how many others had to go along with it, but evidently it was a crowd out there while Ben and his wife went in there to eat. And at first he wasn't going to grant the interview. And then, I don't know, maybe somebody...
His wife told him to.
Yeah.
She did, seriously.
Really? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, she told him to. And, you know, she talked to everybody for 3 or 4 minutes. And I wasn't there, but that is what happened, so...
Hey, she's becoming the best handler in more ways than one that he's had, you know, because, hey, get it out of the way. You know, if not, it's going to be talked about until you talk about it. So
Exactly.
So it cost him, what, 4 minutes, you said?
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead and get it out of the way. And for God's sakes, don't – I mean, if you got to hang
– it was like a thank God moment that it's passed. You know? And, you know, then Tomlin has to answer the question and Colbert has to answer the question. It's just – you know, nobody else wants to do that. So the other thing is, I was just, as I was walking in to do the podcast here, I ran into Terry Carter, and I don't know Terry Carter, but there was a guy with bags, and I know the Steelers had just made the move to sign Josh Victorian, and waive injured Terry Carter. Now, the strange thing about this is Josh Victorian was Terry Carter's teammate at Louisiana Tech. So that's pretty unusual that he's taken his roster spot.
Cold-blooded.
Well, right. Now, Terry Carter was, as you can imagine, understandably disappointed. And, you know, he's got a grade one hamstring pull, tear, however you want to classify it. And he's got a grade two strain. He got pushed in the back doing a drill. And I don't know exactly, you know, how things went down from there, but he hasn't been on the field since the very, you know, since I think the third or fourth day. The Steelers obviously decided they need a body. This is a guy who looked good. So the situation is he'll get paid until he's healthy. He's get flying back to Louisiana to rehab. He's not a Steeler. Every other team gets a shot at him. And I think they could bring him back in 6 weeks. But obviously 6 weeks, we're going to be into the season. So it's a question then, is he a guy who might be able to contribute on the practice squad? Or really, is he going to have to sit around for a year? And most likely, I would think, wait until next year at this, you know, probably get signed in the offseason as a futures guy and go to somebody's camp as one of 90 guys. He couldn't have handled it with more class. I don't seek to spend a lot of time talking to players or doing things with players. But I saw him sitting there on his bags and just struck up a conversation. And he was a really pleasant guy, looked me in the eye. You know, I wish him the best. It was a nice exchange. And you know, he's a disappointed guy, but he was happy for his teammate.
And you know, he was a guy, as you said, during the OTAs and the mini camps, we heard his name a few times. I think he had a couple of interceptions according to the reports and all like that. And you spelled it out best. This is a guy that was waived injured, probably, you know, 3 or 4 week injury, and then he'll ultimately be released from the injured reserve so he can continue his career. And hey, if he impressed Carnell Lake and the coaching staff during the time that he was healthy, it's not out of the question that maybe some point during the middle of the season he could come back, to the practice squad or something like that if there was enough there. So, yeah, that's a shame because I think I even had him penciled in as a practice squad player in. Mark Caballi, I think, put it best on Twitter today. Boy, how quick! I forget how exactly he phrased it, but injuries can change this thing real quick for a player that's not guaranteed a roster spot right now.
Right, right. You can't make
make the club in the tub.
And Keenan Lewis is a prime example. Right back at practice on Tuesday after banging his shoulder pretty hard on Sunday. And everybody thought he was going to miss a few practices at least. And, in fact, Tuesday morning it was reported that he wasn't going to practice and he was going to miss some practices. And there he was, knowing he's competing for that starting job. He didn't want to sit on the sidelines. And Carnell acknowledged that. Let's just put it that way. Dave, you know, I feel like we've touched on most of these things. I think we got a few of the other things out there today. The Steelers will go tonight at 7 o'clock at Latrobe. They'll have that retirement ceremony, quote-unquote retirement ceremony for the four guys. They're all supposed to be there, so that should be good fun. I'll be on the air 6 to 8. I think I'm on 104.7 tonight at some place. I don't even, you know, they're starting to run together a little bit. And I get tomorrow off, and I'm looking forward to that. And then I'll be up here at practice on Sunday, and I'll be on from 5 to 7 with Dale Lawley on 970 on Sunday. So, That's where we stand. Anything you want to add in here?
No, I've got my initial look broken down at the 2013 salary cap situation. I've got an initial hard look at that. It's not as bad as everybody thinks it's going to be. And I've even included scenarios if they sign Mike Wallace as well to a long-term deal. So I invite everybody to check that out this weekend as well too. And David, hey, listen, you're doing a great job. I know you kind of run down a little bit tired probably more than anything with what's going on, but I'm sure it's boosting your career a little bit here. And
I gotta say thank you to all my new Twitter followers. Got 800 or 1,000 more Twitter followers, so I'm only behind by about 15,000. I appreciate all the support and that's great. I appreciate the nice things you've said and tweeted about me as well, Dave. Remember, everybody, you can follow Dave on Twitter at Steelers Depot. I'm at Hammer Speaks. We'll be bringing it to you fast and furious for the next two or three weeks, and then we're gonna, you know, then the real action starts to kick off. So it really is countdown. I think the players are gonna be ready after tonight and the two practices over the weekend. They get Monday off, and then they'll only have one day, Tuesday, then they get set up for Philly. So I'm sure they're looking forward to getting through these practices over the weekend and then go take on somebody else. As am I. I'm looking forward to the day off tomorrow. And again, we want to thank everybody for the donations. It means a ton to us. It is significant. And, you know, thanks. Every dollar is warmly received. So thanks for all you've done for that. You can hit the PayPal thing on Dave's site, or you can hit the link on Dave's site, or you can use PayPal admin Steelers Depot. And I've tried to email all of you who have donated. I hope I haven't missed anybody. I'm sure I did, and I apologize for those that I might have missed. But, again, thanks for that. So, Dave, anything else?
Yeah, we got let's hit a couple people. I promised to give some shout-outs to here. Matthew Christie from Australia. Did you listen to that? Or, I mean, did you read that interview?
I sure did.
That's incredible. I wish we could go through everything that Matthew wrote here. A nice long email all the way from Australia. And Matthew, we appreciate you sending that.
That was some great stuff, Matthew. Yeah, enjoyed reading that, talking about Aussie rules and the other stuff and his interest in gridiron football.
And a few others, I know we have forgotten to give you a shout-out here, and I promise in future podcasts we'll go through all these and try to give as many shout-outs as we possibly can for all these great emails we've gotten from basically around the globe. And follow David on Twitter at Hammer Speaks. Follow me at Steelers Depot, the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're supporting David at Steelers Nation Radio and then ESPN 970. Make sure you check out his podcast and everything there. Some great interviews. And with that, David, you want to take us out of here?
Yep, I'll be on 2 to 4 every day during the week, and I'll be on 970 during the week, 5 to 7 on Sunday this weekend. So without further ado, as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast, Season 3, Episode 3 with Dave and Dave.